the hell happened? Welcome to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Abrisco. The hell happened? Like 2 hours ago, I was sold on Breshad Breeland. Added an R to his name. Did it again. On Breshad Breeland being a Kansas City Chief because he was in the dorms. He was with the coaches. He was in the dorms. He was a Chief until he left. In case you somehow haven't heard, Breshad Breeland is no longer in Kansas City. He has left the building, no longer in St. Joe, more accurately, I suppose. And now it's on to his next destination. He's going to Indianapolis. And former Chiefs front office guy Chris Ballard has a chance to bring him in. And there are a lot of things about this that are surprising. And again, I did a different show, Chief Concerns, 4 hours ago on this same radio station. And that show was largely about how the Chiefs would be in better shape if they brought in Breshad Breeland. I think I added an R to the first part of his name that time. I've called him Breshad and Breshad. Well, now you know what? I don't need to say his name right. Unless he's a Chief. Do I need to know the third corner on the Indianapolis Colts? Nope. Oh, you mean Breshad? No, I don't need it because it doesn't play for my team. There are a lot of things about this that are really weird, by the way. On the field with the coaches during training camp, weird as hell. Walking into the veteran dorms while pretending to be on his phone, weird as hell. We saw him today. He walked past me. Into the dorms. That's crazy. And now he's just on his way out. And there are already a whole bunch of revisionist takes in different directions. No, I didn't want him anyway. He's not that good. And man, listen, I still think that league average corner is about fair and an above average press corner. I think that's what I've been saying this whole time. And that dude makes this team better. Because that's better than David Amerson's ever, than we've seen from him in the last 2 years at all. And it's better than we've ever seen from Steven Nelson. I have a little bit of optimism about Steven Nelson. Very little about David Amerson. And Breeland was good last year. Like, just good. Simply good. He's a good corner. That's more than I can say for sure about, especially, the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys on this roster. It's just not a great place to be rolling with a bunch of lottery tickets, a bunch of question marks. This is not the position where I want to have that issue. And the Chiefs are in a weird spot here where they like actually were chasing after Breeland to improve this position group after ignoring corner until the 6th round of the NFL draft, ignoring corner in free agency except for David Amerson before free agency really started. And ignored it even in the supplemental draft. And again, I mentioned this earlier today. You may have seen by now. Sam Beal hurt his shoulder, and he's out for the season. They barely started practicing in New York, and he's gone. So that may have been dodging a bullet. I don't know. Maybe it's just a totally freak accident that we can't do anything about. And then maybe he wouldn't have had that injury here. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But the Chiefs had a chance to trade up in a couple of places in the draft. They did trade up for Breeland Speaks. They traded up again for Derek Nnadi. The Chiefs had the ammo. They could have just not traded up for Speaks, waited for a corner, taken a pass rusher, and been moving on with the rest of their roster. But now with the news of the night that Breshad Breeland, did I do it again? Breshad. Breeland is going out to Indianapolis for a visit. By the way, I don't think there's a 0% chance that he ends up being a Chief ultimately. But he's going to go ahead and take his visits. Maybe he skips a couple days of training camp, gets the best offer, finds the best fit team-wise, whatever. I'm not rolling out a whole he's dead to me routine, even though I kind of started the show that way by pronouncing his name wrong. But I'm not at that point. I don't even think it's necessarily over. But at this point, it's no longer a sure thing, which is what it really felt like a few hours ago. And it's just really strange. It's strange that he got all this access and didn't end up being on the actual team. It's strange that the Chiefs hosted him for 36 hours after showing no apparent interest in improving the position until, like, 2 days ago. It's weird that they didn't show that interest before just now. It's weird that it took this long to get Breland in for a visit. There's just a lot about this that is pretty bizarre. It's also weird that Field Yates had the report first. He said it's not a done deal that he won't be with the Chiefs. He's just going to Indy right now. It's crazy. And the thing that bothers me right now is that if the Chiefs secondary isn't good enough this year, they had an entire NFL draft and they could have selected somebody to pair with Fuller for the next 5 years. Or they could have gone for somebody in free agency. Or they could have put a second on Sam Beal in the supplemental draft. Or they could have kept Marcus Bleeping Peters. I do not know what this secondary is going to look like. And that's why this is the position group on this team that gives me the most concern. Because I don't know what it looks like. I don't know who the second best player in that group is. I don't know who's third. And if Will Redmond has a tremendous season, if Keith Reeser is just great, I'll be thrilled. But it will not undo any of this concern, which is absolutely rightfully based at this point. Because unless the Chiefs start Will Reeser, or Keith Redmond, or Arian Springs, if one of those guys is starting tomorrow in training camp, and he starts the first preseason game, and he starts the first game of the regular season, and he starts a playoff game, unless that happens, then it's just going to be getting lucky with one of the guys down lower on the depth chart. And I don't like playing that game with my corners. I'm cool with playing that game, by the way, with the left guard. Seriously, this is the inverse of the cornerback position to me. If the left guard is just like that dude from Canada and Brian Witzman and Parker Anger and, I don't know, I guess Khalil McKenzie, rookie, but so probably won't be. But just throw those four guys into a pit, break a pool cue in half, drop one of them in there. Whoever comes out is the starter at left guard week one. That's fine by me. Because the rest of the offensive line I feel pretty good about. Mahomes under pressure I feel pretty good about. One of those guys being good enough, I feel pretty good about. But that's one guy in a position that's pretty hard to exploit. Corner is the inverse of that. Easy to exploit. Left on an island. Easy to pick out all of the weaknesses. Which I guess is the same thing as being easy to exploit. It's the one place on the field other than quarterback where they can just derail any single game, season, franchise the most quickly. You got a weak nose tackle, you got a bad one of your pass rushers is bad, inside linebacker's bad. You're going to have places where you have a hard time, where you've got to overcompensate. But if you can't trust your number two cornerback It throws off your whole defense. And I feel like the Chiefs have had plenty of options to really keep that from ever being a concern of theirs. And I don't know what it was that kept Bashaud Breeland from being the guy that comes in to fill that spot. Maybe it was an injury thing, although it seems weird that it would take 36 hours to figure that out. Maybe it was a fit thing. Maybe it was a money thing. I don't know. Maybe he just was always going to go on 3 or 4 visits. But it's wild to me that the Chiefs have gotten this long without actually locking in a number 2 cornerback. I don't like it at all. This is a brand new show. It's called Chiefs Central. We're going to do it every single weekday during training camp because I'll talk a little bit about whatever the story of the day is, and then I'll take a break right about this time, and then I'll come back and let you hear some things from training camp today you may not have heard yet. A handful of players that'll speak at any number of days. Today, there were a few guys that did speak. We also have a little clip from Andy Reid talking about Breeland with Stephen St. John earlier today. You'll be able to hear that full interview tomorrow morning on the Border Patrol, but we'll give you a little snippet of it whenever we come back. Also, some guys spoke yesterday, and this show didn't exist yesterday, so we may go back to some Spencer Ware. I also, on the show today, will give you a few minutes of Seth Kaiser of The Athletic talking with me about Spencer Ware, who I think is a tremendously under-discussed story at this point. No one's really under-discussed because it's training camp, and there are 4 media members per player out there right now, myself included. So no one's really under-discussed, but I think Spencer Ware is a guy that's going to be increasingly important to this team, that I think that will become increasingly evident as we go. So stick around here for a minute. I'm Josh Briscoe. I guess that's the thing I say there. We can take that again, and take 2. Hi. Hey! Hi, welcome to the show. Don't go anywhere. We're going to commercial break. I'm Joshua Briscoe. This is Chiefs Central. Welcome back into Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe, recapping all the action that you may have missed from training camp today. Also talking about the big stories of the day. We're going to do this every weekday while training camp is going on. And today's the first one, so welcome aboard on the maiden voyage of this particular show. You may say, wait a second, weren't you doing this show at 6 o'clock today? No, that's Chief Concerns. This is Chief Central. Chiefs plural. That one's Chief Singular, because it's a pun. That's Chief Singular Concerns. This is Chiefs Central. The central location for your Chiefs, as opposed to a concern of the Chief variety. So, I hope that cleared up any confusion. And this is a show for training camp because we're getting tons and tons of audio back from St. Joe, all sorts of things to keep an eye on. The one thing that is varying amounts of relevant now, and you'll be able to hear the whole conversation with Andy Reid tomorrow morning on the Border Patrol on this very station. But earlier today, Stephen St. John sat down with head coach Andy Reid, and he asked him at the time about Bashaud Breeland. Added an R again. I'm going to have to like put a dollar in a jar. If the Chiefs do sign him, I'm going to have to put in some sort of penalty system for every time I add an R to Bashaud's name. But at the time, we just knew he was roaming around the campus. He was down on the field. And the answer at the time from Andy Reid was kind of suspicious. Now it starts to seem like it's just sort of the God's honest truth. But Stephen asked Reid if there's anything new to report regarding Breeland.
Yeah, there's nothing been done with that. He's up on his visit here, and so the guys brought him out so he could see what was going on. He's got a few other teams that are looking at him, too. So.
Can you talk? I know that you can't talk about anything official, but you've seen him on film. You guys played against Washington, and obviously Kendall Fuller is a member of the team now. Maybe about what he might add to the team if something did happen?
Yeah, well, he's close to a few guys on the team. You know, Sammy Watkins, and he went against each other every day at Clemson. Jarvis Jenkins and he are best buddies, and then obviously, Fuller, they're close because they were teammates there at Washington. So, but like I said, he's got other teams looking at him. He's just on a visit, and so he wasn't bored sitting up in the dorms. We brought him down on the field, but there's nothing happening as of right now.
There was nothing happening as of right then. I mean, I'm guessing there was a conversation going on, but interesting also the idea that he was simply just bored in the dorms. Didn't want him to be bored in the dorms, so he just went out onto the practice field? That's not normal. This situation is not normal. And now him just leaving and going to Indianapolis just to go for a visit there makes it even more consistently not normal. But if he wants to win, the other options are the Raiders, his previous visit, and then the Colts, his next visit. I think the Browns are also interested. So if he does want to play on a winning team, the Chiefs, whatever you may think about the Chiefs in regard to their reasonable ceilings and floors this year, they have the best outlook this year and for the long term of any of those teams. Let's switch gears, though, because the star of today, other than Breland, was Anthony Sherman, because he always dresses out for the debut at training camp. He came out in a new getup, which you can see pictures of all over Twitter, the 810 Twitter, my Twitter, the 810 Instagram, my Instagram. There's a video on the Facebook page of the Facebook Live that we're doing then, but also there's like a, it's like a highlight now. You can see him, and then also Jordan Devey, like, he was wearing something that I would have worn. You can see that on the video page as well. But every 810 social media page has a picture of Anthony Sherman up. So whenever he came out to talk to the media a little bit, he started off by taking a bunch of questions about his tremendous outfit.
My wife gave me this idea. So I like wrestling too, so it worked out. I threw the knee sleeves on to make it more professional wrestling.
Where did you actually get this?
This outfit is actually from Amazon. Knee sleeves are from Rogue, and then I got my No Bull shoes on. So.
And the cowboy hat?
Cowboy hat I got in Newport a couple years back.
So you just collect a lot of fun stuff.
Correct.
Is this the only outfit that speaks out to everybody, or do you have a whole suitcase full of them?
No, here? I usually make the decision in July and then order it, or maybe I might have it in the closet, who knows.
And then from here on out, it's normal athletic clothing.
Yes, I won't, this will be the last time I put this on.
Billy Beller tweeted that he'd seen this and previewed this a couple of weeks ago. Who else had a chance to preview this outfit?
A couple of buddies from home. I sent the picture to the other day. But I saw Billy over the weekend, so I had to show him a picture of what I got.
So will you wear this again, or is this a one and done?
Depends. I mean, I could wear it again. I'd probably not, but you never know.
Speaking of wrestling, do you feel like this day is your title belt that you have to defend? The way you show
well, I definitely,
up compared
I have to live up every year, so now I definitely have a little more stress to just come into camp than actual camp.
What do you think of what Jordan Devey had, the jorts and the mullet and the... And
it's
the
a good look.
Shirt. You like that?
Yeah, the mullet looks good. I wish I could actually really grow a mullet.
Are you going to make the rookies call you Macho Man?
No. That'd be too much nowadays, you know?
Are you ready for football?
Yes. Yes, I am. Ready to go.
You said you're a wrestling fan. Who's your favorite wrestler?
Goldberg. Stone Cold, The Rock.
So have you learned some of your moves from them?
Kind of.
So how excited are you about this offense with all the talent that's been put together?
Oh, I'm extremely excited. I mean, Brett Veach has done a phenomenal job of bringing guys in, and I'm excited to see Pat and really, you know, get him and get all the reps and see what he's able to do, really.
Did you learn anything about Pat in that week last year, the Denver week, not just the game itself, but the week of practice, too?
Oh, absolutely. He's, I mean, it was... tremendous professional. He came in early, he was there late studying, knowing that this was his time to show everyone what he had, and he did a phenomenal job. So I'm just excited to see it week in and week out here.
He did look tremendous. Again, please just go look at the pictures. Charlie did point out just to me in my headphones that it's someone's like, "Hey, so football?" He was like, "Yeah, football." And then it was, "So who do you like wrestling?" Like, "Oh, I got lists on that." Man, if just he's in a singlet. Just let him talk about fashion and wrestling. We're going to have plenty of times for Anthony Sherman to tell us how much he's ready for football. He's in a singlet in public, surrounded by professional television cameras. I'm not worried about his football answers. The other guy who spoke to all of us out there today was Frank Zombo, and he had a bunch of interesting things to say. I'm pretty critical of Frank Zombo as a player, but he was a good discussion today on a whole bunch of different things. But the first question he got was like about nothing, but he ended up responding to it on a whole bunch of levels with what it's like returning to football this year and his pretty hefty goals for 2018.
I guess we don't want like fake enthusiasm or anything like that, but I feel like we do have a lot of energy. When you're just driving in, I got like so many different text messages, different group texts that are going around about what people expect out of this season. Even walking through the halls, and you know, you don't see guys for a couple months, but they're. I feel like our goals are set pretty high. I mean, we don't want to settle for making the playoffs. I think you know, we want We want that, you know, that ring. And people are talking about getting the stuff we can hold on to forever, which is the Super Bowl ring. And the guys are already kind of talking about that's what we want. I mean, that's our goal. And I think everyone knows that. Yeah.
On a less important note, do you feel somewhat underdressed when you see Jordan and Anthony walk in?
I saw Anthony's outfit last night. I went over to his house to visit with his family a little bit. He pulled it out. He was so excited about it. I was nervous that his legs might not fit through the holes that he was in that little onesie he had, but I guess he tried it on and it all worked out. And yeah, he's been excited about that outfit. I heard about it also.
Does that top the previous ones in your mind?
Yeah. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger, I guess. Right. Yeah,
Rick, do you know how this is with Anthony? I mean, has he explained to you just the anticipation of this day for him?
He does go a lot. I mean, it literally, I think I got that picture of what he was going to wear about a month ago. So he's been really looking forward to coming here and doing that. I think it started with Kush, when him and they did the whole American thing and they come into training camp. I mean, everyone, you know, everyone's excited for camp. You need a little bit of that. I think it helped Anthony get excited, and you know, he's excited to go.
What's some of the advice that you give to younger guys who have used a veteran who's been in camps before? What kind of advice do you give?
They got to stay in their book. Things get thrown at us really fast when it comes to installs and things like that, because, I mean, the whole playbook goes in within, like, 10 days, I would say. So you got to stay in your book. So, I mean, you guys know, for me, it's like doing your job and, you know, being in the right spot at the right time. People that can account, like, you can be accountable and the coach can depend on you. You know, you can make a career out of that. And so I would say stay in your book and be accountable so they can trust you, they can put you in the game. That's huge. And getting your rest when you need it. And then being the things on time. You never want to be a guy who's just not being there and people getting coming. Yeah.
Mr. Zombo, what do you pass away that helps you survive the dorm? What has to be a must in that suitcase for camp?
It's a great question. My wife has been setting my camp, my little camp bag, and I have like all the sheets smell like my home. So she washes all my stuff so it smells like home, and she has like a little care package for me with different snacks I like to eat at night. This year I tried less chocolate, more like almonds. I'm trying to be healthier this camp. And I try to make as much as home as possible. And pictures of the kids. And I have three little boys now, so it's a little bit different than my first year here in training camp at St. Joe. I had zero kids. My wife didn't really come visit me at the time. Now it's like I have three boys, so I got to see pictures of them. I miss them a little bit. I think it's a little harder for older guys now, as it's not just going to camp, because we know what to expect now. But now you're leaving your family and you're leaving your kids behind, so you got to FaceTime them more and things like that. But I guess those are the things that bother us a little bit, less than your family.
Frank, does the days leading up to camp, is it more the anticipation, the overwhelming feeling, or also just the sort of a little bit of sadness because you got to leave sort of family and things behind for a few weeks?
Yeah, I'd say it's kind of comparable to, like, you know, when you were a kid and it was like you were going back to school, you had the summer off and you're going back to school, and you know, it's exciting, you get to meet new friends, or you know, you're excited for what you're getting to, but again, it's like you've been off for a certain amount of time, now you're going back to work, so there's a little bit of sense of that. But I think it's, you know, it's exciting. It's hard work. You're working basically all day. So it's a little scary. It's a little bit of anxiety, but you're excited, and it's our job. So if you look at it as, like, I mean, look what we get to do as a job. You know, you get to go play football with your buddies. You get to sit through meetings. You get to work out. We're pretty lucky to be in this position. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of different feelings. You know, there's a lot of pressure as well, you know, to make the squad and things like that. So there's just a lot of emotions that go into a training camp.
Bring you get to more and more teams are staying home for training camp. Guys here in St. Joe, and it sounds at least that the team is going to remain here for future. What is it about camp that makes this valuable, known for you, but where you think the team needs to go before the start of, you know, week one?
I think going away to a training camp brings your team closer, because I know if you're at home, obviously you're just going to go hang out with your family. Whereas now you do. I mean, between practice and meetings and really that, you're eating, you know, at the dorms with your buddies. You're getting through it together. Because it is tough. There's times where we got, you know, 3 days in a row of head, and you got to fight through it. So you need your guys there to, not you complaining, but you're talking about how you're getting through it and things like that. So it builds a little bit of, you know, team bonding or whatnot. It is, once you get older, like, those playing dorms, you're like, all right, I'm 31 years old, I'm going to stay in the dorms. But, again, I mean, that's part of the whole deal of it. I mean, it's a tradition of training camp, football, and there's no more two-a-days, but I feel like you still need that sense of, you know, dorms and, you know, being there like that.
Have you talked to other players in the league? I've always had to. Going to set out to do for another year?
No, because I mean, I played in Green Bay, and it was the same thing. You kind of went to some dorms. They weren't as far away. They're like, you know, 15 minutes away. Whereas here, you're an hour away, so you don't go home. So you could still go home in Green Bay, but it's always been like that. That's all I really know.
What
Frank,
did you think Anthony Sherman wore today?
Oh, I know exactly what he wore today.
You did?
Yeah, he showed me last night.
He showed you?
Yeah, we had a question earlier about it, and yeah, I saw the onesie last night. He didn't try it on for me or anything, but I was
I'm just happy that his big old legs were able to fit through that little singlet he's wearing.
Are you tempted ever to join the fashion parade he starts?
No, I'm not much of a follower. You know, that's his thing. I'll give him that. I'm not gonna try to steal stuff.
It's Frank Zombo from Training Camp Today. I thought a couple of interesting things in there about just sort of getting the veterans' perspective on camp and how it evolved over time. And how it's harder for the older guys because they're leaving family behind and everything. But that also juxtaposed with like the reasons that it makes sense to have it away from home, not to just have it at your facility. So because you're hanging out with the guys overnight and you know, getting dinner in the mess hall. So that's probably the cafeteria is probably the better word. Getting all your meals with the rest of the guys, the rest of the team in the cafeteria instead of going home is probably good for team building, but it's also probably bad for a marriage. Like, I just thought that was a pretty interesting perspective from Zombos about how it gets harder for guys as they get older to, you know, leave family and go through the grind of all of this. And so, yeah, I thought it was interesting. That was the bulk of it from today. But yesterday there were some interesting things. And Spencer Ware spoke two days after, restructuring his contract with the Chiefs. And I think that the most, and you're going to hear a handful of things from Ware here, and then we're going to pivot to talking about Spencer Ware himself, both something from me and something from Seth Kaiser, our friend from The Athletic. But I thought the most interesting thing that you're going to hear in this clip, of among all this stuff about coming back from injury and everything, I thought the most interesting thing from Spencer Ware here was a very short non-answer in a response to a question from Cody Tapp of Sportsnet. It was on these airwaves like 35 minutes ago. Cody asked Spencer Ware a question regarding his contract restructuring, and Ware was not willing to discuss this matter in a way that I feel like it's kind of a weird response for something that is obviously very public.
I mean, that was a little personal, you feel me? Like, on our side, like I said, with my organization, my team, I trust them. I'm happy with where I'm at in my rehab process, and we're just going to keep moving forward from where we at.
Did you surprise yourself in the rehab process of seeing where you were and how you progressed, the fact that you can be ready to go for start of camp?
I don't want to say, like, surprise myself, but I mean, I attack everything head first, and then that's where the faith comes in at. Like he was talking to about my brand and Yes Lord, so everyone believes in something no matter what it is. And, you know, I believe in my creator, and he does great things. So, like I said, simplify it. You got to simplify it for yourself and then just stay focused on the things that you need to accomplish and just attack it.
You were obviously helpful for Kareem going through his rookie season last year. Once you got through your surgery, what do you envision the two of you guys potentially doing together with you coming back fully healthy and him having a year of experience?
Well, as far as, you know, the team, we all got one common goal, and that's to try to win the Super Bowl. First win the West, you know what I'm saying, then the AFC, and then on going to the Super Bowl. So whatever we need to do, you know, personally, that's Kareem. Personally, I have my goals. Personally, he has his goals and all the other running back with my competitors. But ultimately, like, together, collectively, as a group, we got to go out there. And if they put the ball in our hands, we got to make something happen.
Spencer, Mitch was just up here saying the expectations are for a championship. Mm-hmm. But yet there's a lot of young faces and coaches talking about the refreshment of newness for everybody. You know, new players just bring a breath of life. So how would you describe this camp, actually? Is there a pressure as well as an excitement of, you know, just eagerness? Or how would you, as a person who's been here before, describe this?
I mean, we can't go into it looking at them like they're, you know, any less than the people that have already been here. They get paid, and they're, you know, some of the greatest talents that we have seen in a while. So, I mean, going out there, it's all about just repetition. Developing that chemistry, offense and defense, you know, special teams able to bring all three phases together and, you know, just go out there and play as a team. We know it's going to be ups and downs just like any team within the season. It's not going to be perfect all the time, but as long as we got each other, then we just keep working, straining the finish, and then, you know, we'll let it take care of itself.
Would you agree expectations are high despite a lot of new guys?
course, expectations are high for the rest of the other 31 teams. So, I mean, we just got to pick our place. Where do you want to, you know what I'm saying, how do you want to be remembered? The work that you put in, we just got to go out there and, like I said, just play as a team, not worry about all the distractions off the field and focus on what we need to do out here.
How much did you miss football, playing the game?
Of course I miss it. Number one is one, my love. It allows me to provide for my family. So, I mean, of course, I miss my job when I was out. But in this game, we all know things happen. It's just about how you bounce back from.
Negotiation aside, has Thielend or Eric Bieniemy kind of talked to you about your role this year or what it could be?
Just get your ass back. That's pretty much.
I'm Eric. New role, going from, you know, where you guys were in the room to the offensive coordinator. I know it's early, but just what is your excitement for him in that role, and how has that sort of looked early on these first couple of days?
Well, he's very detailed, and he pays attention to everything. And I think the biggest thing Coach Bieniemy will bring to our offense is his intensity. As you can tell, his take a look at his resume or the players that he's coached and the way that they play football, each and every play that they get out there on the field. So having a whole entire offense with that same mentality, you know, is pretty exciting.
Couple more, guys.
You mentioned your brand a couple times. Looks like you've released some new lines this summer. How involved were you able to be with that during your rehab during this last year?
I was pretty much involved with it. Just coming up with some new designs or whatnot for the summer. And just some things just to uplift some people that may be going through some things like in their life and they have nothing that they believe in or anything to really fall back on. So a lot of people, they get down on themselves. And like I said, that's why I throw up the four. So it's just reminding them, you know, that whatever it is that you believe in, if it's your creator, it's just your work, your morals, your grind, your hustle, whatever it is, you know, that's you. And then my brand doesn't allow anyone to judge you. So you're able to be your own person and believe what it is that you wanted to believe in.
Was working on that something that got you through the rehab? That was something you could kind of channel your frustration in from not being able to play?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I would wear it when I work out. You know, when I get tired or I feel like I want to give up or it's hurting. You know, you just take a look down at yourself and you remember, you know, your why. And then you got to thank the Lord.
So your mentality hasn't changed? This training camp, your mentality hasn't changed much at all.
No, I wouldn't think so. I mean, it's the same. Getting ready for this long haul in this season. So, I mean, that's what we out here for.
Spencer Ware, that's from training camp yesterday. And there's a bunch of interesting things in there. Also, I'm a sucker for, like, a player starting his own clothing brand. Like, that's just very much up my alley. I think that's all really fun, and I'm totally on board for whenever players do stuff like that. And I hope that he comes back feeling very good, because I think he is going to be a tremendously vital part of this offense this year. I think he would have been last year as well. It probably wouldn't have gotten a nearly rookie of the year performance from Kareem Hunt if Ware would have been healthy. But now that we know exactly what Kareem Hunt is bringing to the table, we also know what Spencer Ware has. And so we talked about Spencer Ware a little bit on Tuesday over on Almost Entirely Sports on ESPN Kansas City. It's a daily show, 4 to 6. We're always over there. Look up the podcast, whatever. But Seth Kizer from The Athletic is on with us every Tuesday, and he just wrote a piece on The Athletic that's very good about Spencer Ware and how we have sort of forgotten what exactly he can and will and has been with these Chiefs, and that this year should be no different. So here's a little bit of our conversation back on Tuesday. Me and Seth Kizer talking about Spencer Ware and what he's going to be in this offense.
I basically wrote a reminder article, and that's up on The Athletic right now, that Spencer Ware has a number of highly useful skills in Andy Reid's offense. For starters, his ability as a receiver has been largely forgotten. Mm-hmm. People need to remember, like, you know, early in the 2016 season, I mean, he was leading the NFL in yards from scrimmage by a mile for the first 6 or 7 weeks. His receiving ability was one of the centerpieces of the offense during that time. He doesn't just come out of the backfield. They lined him up as a slot receiver. He was running slants, ins, outs, whip routes or pivot routes I mean, he was doing routes you don't normally see from a running back. Now, is he as good a route runner as Damian Williams? No, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. But he's a significantly better runner. And that's what changes the dynamic there. Is last season, when Kareem Hunt went to the bench and Charkhandrick West or Akeem Hunt would come in, those guys, they're role players. They're not really a threat to run the ball. They're just not. Spencer Ware is. He's an exceptional runner. He's got great bounce through contact. He, a lot like Kareem Hunt, he can be a very punishing runner. Ware is, if anything, more physical. He looks for contact because he's a little bit bigger. But he's also, he's got great vision. Not elite vision. He's not Jamal Charles, but he's got great vision, good patience. He knows exactly when to cut back, which is huge in these zone blocking systems that Reed loves. He really does a lot of useful things. I think, like you said, we forget we had expectations of Spencer Ware last year as being a not, you know, elite running back, but hovering around that top 10.
Yes.
And for good reason.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he gets hurt and people's memory is short. So this is a huge thing that he is back and healthy. That's a huge deal for the offense because what it means is they can genuinely rotate running backs and keep Hunt completely fresh, which is great. They can run two back sets with two guys that are equally as dangerous running the ball. I would say Hunt is the better runner. Hunt is the better runner. I think Ware is the better receiver of the two of them.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And
sure.
And that also means that we don't need to be on pins and needles with regards to Kareem Hunt's health.
Right.
Because if he gets nicked up, Ware can jump right in there. And I think the Chiefs have learned in recent years that running back is a position where guys are going to get nicked up, even if they only miss a game or two, or if they're just kind of nicked up for a few series. You see that all the time, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And last year when that happened, it was Wes or Akeem Hunt, and they just don't present the same dynamic. With Spencer Ware, you can bring him in, and the offense doesn't have to change.
Yes. And also, the Chiefs restructured his contract, which maybe it's to move a little money for Breland, but I think really what it does is it makes it even more logical for him to be the guy that comes out of that that giant group of running backs that they have right now. He becomes more affordable. Well, again, being the second most talented back in that backfield. And I think it's reasonable to say that in the NFL, running back like number 12 through 25 or whatever are very much determined by their fit and their scheme. I think those guys, talent wise, can often be very close.
Yep.
But I think Ware's in that group.
Absolutely, he's in that group, and he's versatile.
Yeah,
and that's what separates him from a lot of backs. He's a decent blocker. He's a good receiver. He can play multiple roles, and he runs angry. I mean, Kareem Hunt is an exceptional runner, and he's a better runner, and he's even better at shaking tackles, which is crazy, but he is literally, in my opinion, now that Marshawn Lynch has kind of slowed down a bit, I think Kareem Hunt is the best tackle breaker in the NFL. So it's not an insult to Ware.
Yeah, no.
But the difference between Ware and Hunt is Ware sometimes seems like he's looking to run guys over, whereas Hunt is a little more... He's more just trying to gain yards. And I know that sounds very subjective, but you can see it in Ware's running. Every now and then, and there's a video clip of this in the article I wrote about him just laying out a linebacker against Tampa Bay. And it's beautiful.
Yes.
He'll lower his shoulder, and he did that against Houston to Kendrick Lewis. It's a wonderful thing to watch. So it's a huge deal in that it just adds one more genuinely above average to very good playmaker to an offense that's already just spoiled rotten with them.
Yes. Did you have any? Did it pop up on your radar at all when the Chiefs were apparently interested in signing Eli Rogers? Did you feel gluttonous in that moment?
I did feel a little gluttonous, but you know they really do. They are clearly, they've got some kind of plan this off season, and part of it is all the Williamses.
Yes.
And the other part, I mean, they want to make sure, from what I can tell, that they are not left with a tough running back situation.
Right.
And, you know, that's a good thing. That's smart. If there's any position in the NFL you need solid depth, running back is one of them.
Obviously, Eli Rogers, not a Chief. Actually went back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, man, that part rings true. That's Seth Kizer from The Athletic, a conversation we had on Tuesday on ESPN Kansas City. It's evident that the Chiefs are throwing everything they can at filling this offense with weapons in a way that an injury doesn't derail you, underperformance from a guy doesn't derail you. A bad day from Patrick Mahomes doesn't derail you if you've got the running backs at your disposal that are Kareem Hunt, Spencer Ware, then either Charkendrick West or one of the Williamses. This team is loaded, and I love it. We're going to take another break. Whenever we come back, we'll wrap up shop, see if we can get you some other audio from the last couple of days of training camp, or we'll talk some more about where the offense is headed or now what the Chiefs have on their hands in the secondary now that Bashaud Breeland probably isn't going to be a Chief, although it's still not ruled out. Again, he has left St. Joe. He's got a visit with the Colts coming up next. The Browns also interested, but he did leave St. Joe without a contract, so that's all still pretty open. Right now, though, you are listening to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. We'll be here every weeknight after everything else is over, after Sports Night, Royals Post, whatever it may be. We're here every night during training camp because we've got a whole lot of stuff coming from St. Joseph, Missouri, especially now that all the veterans have arrived. And we are going to keep you completely updated with all of the best stuff from all of those guys. My name is Joshua Briscoe. Charlie Carlin is keeping us on the air here tonight. We'll wrap up shop coming up next here on Chiefs Central. Welcome back in the Chiefs Central. Chiefs Central. Got it in one. Sorry, I almost made it seven different things. Welcome back to Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio at 10. I got distracted because this NFL film song always sounds like Pink Panther music to me. And so I can't focus. And then it turns into Batman. It goes from Pink Panther to Batman on a level that I can't focus to talk about Chiefs. I can't talk about anything other than how much the music sounds like Pink Panther or Batman. All right, we don't have very much time left here today. You may say, Josh, didn't you do 4 hours of live radio today talking almost always about the Chiefs? Yeah, that you'd be right. And I still ran out of time today, all right? Listen, I talk a lot and go on tangents. I don't know. Sue me. But Mitch Morse spoke yesterday out at training camp, and I want to give you at least a little taste of what Mitch Morse had to say, especially starting off on how it feels to be coming back to training camp after a long recovery from his injury last year.
It's a blast, man. I got to tell you, just being out there with the guys, putting the pads back on, or at least putting the helmet back on, it was a long process, I got to tell you. First, I'd like to thank everyone in the training room, Rick, Evan, Aaron, although he left, Glove, Julie. It was a really tough time for me last year. I tried to go out. You know, the year before, I'd seen guys like, you know, Larry and Schwartz tough through these injuries, so I wanted to get back to my team and get out there. But structurally, it just wasn't there. It was completely blown out, but we did everything by the book. These guys, I cannot say good enough things about these guys. And so then we took me out, got surgery, and took it day by day. They didn't push me to do anything past my comfort level. Now, they pushed me in there to become a better football player and a healthier football player. But to answer your question, it's just so much fun being out there, just competing a bit, getting out there, knocking some of the rust off.
I say, it looked like during OTAs you were ready to get out there.
Well, I had a screw removed from my foot in May. And then you had to keep it kind of PG for that, just the doctor's orders. But now it feels great. We're progressing. There's still a little bit to go, but we're in a great place where I can practice comfortably. And just getting back out there and working football stuff with Pat and the quarterbacks and running backs and just the other offensive linemen.
So after the initial injury last year, you never really felt 100%?
No. The guys that, like I said, and I'm going to beat this like a dead horse, they were – troop, they were awesome, but I just had nothing behind it, and then it just, when we went in there, it was completely gone.
How helpless did you feel? I mean, I know you're a guy who loves playing, so how helpless did you feel not being able to contribute?
You know, the truth of the matter was, I felt like I wasn't contributing for the guys. You know, I wasn't putting my best self out there, and the guys were picking up my slack when I was out there. That's tough. You want to always positively influence what's going on out there. But we did it by the book, man. We were comfortable with where we were. It just didn't work out. And it happens like that in football. But now it's a new year, healthier foot. But it was really tough, man. It was a real tough year.
You feel 100% now?
Yeah, feeling really good. It gets sore, but it's the sorest part of football.
How did it happen originally?
So originally, I don't know if you've seen Fletcher Cox, but he's a giant human.
Yeah.
I took a bull rush and something, you know, I thought it was my ankle at first, and then I went out on a screen, and then I just felt it pop, kind of go, and it just happens, man. It's part of the gig.
What do you need to get back? Is it the footwork? Is it the mindset? Is it the quickness? What has to come?
Yeah, I think it's everything. You know what I mean? To get game speed, to get, you know, back to where you need to go, you need to come out here and just get the reps. You know, mentally get back into it, because you can watch as much film as you want, but you got to correlate that to the field and, you know, see what you see. You know, there's different things. There's looking at it on the screen, there's looking at it out there on the field. And it's getting the movement back. And then no matter how hard you train, there's strength and conditioning, and, you know, you're in shape, and then there's football shape. And you got to get out there. And, you know, the first few days, especially knock the rust off, was really good.
It's Mitch Morse at training camp yesterday. He is an important part of this team, man. He's one of those guys that I feel like he and Spencer Ware both, honestly, have suffered from not being on the field just in our perception of them. Spencer Ware goes away, and all of a sudden Kareem Hunt is tremendous. We forget how important Spencer Ware was. Mitch Morse is hurt and never all there, misses some time, and maybe doesn't ever fully recover, and then is always recovering because of that. Like, no matter what it is, I think both of those guys really, and maybe even to some extent Justin Houston, hopefully it's the case for Dee Ford also, I'm not quite as optimistic there, but Mitch Morse hopefully being fully healthy this year is really exciting. Whatever it is that you expect him to give you has to be a big addition to this offensive line. All right, that's going to do it for this inaugural edition of Chiefs Central here on Sports Radio 810. We'll be back again tomorrow night right around 10 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810. Bye, Mom!